this is Mike.
Wow, that was some killer intro music there for the first ever Co-opt-a-cast.
I know, it was totally amazing. My socks are literally blown off my feet.
I actually hope that we have intro music for the first ever Co-opt-a-cast, but we'll have to see.
Kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-opt-a-cast.
And welcome back to another Co-opt-a-cast. This is Co-opt-a-cast episode 50 for Monday, September the 6th, 2010. It's Labor Day in the United States of America. I don't really know what that means, but we don't have to work, so that's a good thing.
That's exactly what that means.
We
have the day off work.
We doth not labor today.
Indeed.
Okay. But, so, I don't know about you, I didn't get to do any picnics or anything today.
Well, we drove around trying to find something to do today, and, well, everyone really decided it was the day off. Because there's nothing going on, and we said, oh, well, maybe we go grocery shopping, and, well, Costco was closed.
Oh. We went shoe shopping for Izzy, so that was the highlight of our day.
Oh, fun.
But I did get some gaming in, and I'm hoping you got some gaming in, too.
I got plenty.
So let's talk about what you've been playing.
I have been playing Valkyria Chronicles 2, and it is really, really damn good. It is just as good as the first, and I would say there are enough areas that improve upon it that it's probably a better game.
And that is good to hear.
It's very good. It's very good to hear. I mean, because it's on a portable rather than on the PS3, the scope of the battles has changed. Every skirmish is broken down into one of several maps, and mm-hmm. If you remember in the first game, you could capture an enemy stronghold or a waypoint or whatever, and
right.
You would be able to deploy troops from that location and so on. So this one, those stations are the waypoints between the areas. So you might start in the corner of one map, push to the corner of the other side, and where an enemy base will be. You take over the base, and then it acts as a gateway to another area, and you can start, you know, you can start funneling troops through the levels that way. And oftentimes it actually forces you to deploy your troops in separate corners of the map, so you actually have multiple groups of soldiers moving through.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, you can do some interesting maneuvers, like you can now do pincer attacks on enemies, like, you know, there'll be a tank, and I'm keeping the tank occupied with anti-tank stuff, but I could come up behind it and, you know, tag it in one hit with a group that I deployed.
Mm-hmm.
There are things like all of the classes are slightly different, but you, as you use each character through the maps, they earn credits, and if they earn enough credits of certain types, you can change their class. You can turn a scout into a sniper. You can take one of the shock troopers, the machine gun guys, and give them a flamethrower, and they have to earn it. So it really, even more so than the first game, kind of asks you to mix your troop balance up a bit, because if you want the strongest troops, you have to give everybody, you know, opportunity to earn credits, and if they sit out of the battle, the only bonuses they'll get are when you upgrade your classes as a whole. So they'll gain the levels, but they won't be able to become elite troops or anything like that. But it's really great. They broke the story out a little differently, so you're not forced to watch everything before you go. You're given, like, 5 or 6 options before every story mission.
Uh-huh.
And there's only, usually the only one that's required is the one that directly sets up the story. You can skip everything else if you want. And they do a really good job with bringing characters from the first game back, both directly and in mention. And I'm just having an absolute blast with it. I've put 7 or 8 hours in it so far, and it's awesome. I haven't gotten to check out the co-op yet, but it looks to be really interesting because it gives you two simultaneous attackers, and if you move your troops near your co-op buddy, they earn things like buddy attacks. So, like, you know how when in the first game you'd you put compatible troops next to one another, and they one troop would make an attack, the other troop would make a free attack.
Yeah,
along with them.
Different kind of bonuses. Yeah,
yeah. This works much the same, except that for the player who's joining in on the attack, it doesn't count as their move for that turn. So you can essentially run and gun a couple times with paired up players, and it's pretty sweet. You can also donate your command points to another player. So if your buddy's in a more advantageous position, or you're stuck, like you're pinned in a corner and you can't get out, you can donate all of your free moves to your co-op partner, and they can come in and, you know, save your butt.
And that has actual online co-op, right?
It's not just ad hoc, only, as far as I know.
Well, that's lame-o.
It does suck, but I have a good friend who also has it, so we will be meeting up to play it as soon as we can.
But I have no friends.
I'm sorry. The you know what, the core game is so good. I would say it's easier to jump into than the first one, even though the first one was pretty easy.
Yeah,
it's mostly because it's on the go.
I played the demo and I really liked it, and
the demo doesn't even give you a taste of how good this is. Like,
I'm teetering on picking it up. It's like, I have so much to play, but it's like the perfect thing to play during lunch at work and stuff.
Oh yeah, the hardest mission I've faced so far took me like 9 turns out of the 20 that they give you.
Mm-hmm.
And that it still was only, you know, 20-25 minutes of my time. So they go pretty fast, and there are a lot more missions in this than there were in the first. The first had, you know, you'd have a skirmish here and there, and you're basically given an option to, you're like, oh, I can free skirmish on this tier of enemy, and mm-hmm. That's basically how you would grind your troop levels out if you were, you know, lagging behind. This one, you'd still have that option, but you also have a host of other optional missions, and you can actually buy missions from a shop to do. So it constantly keeps you going. It reuses some of the maps, but that's mostly because of the limitations of the hardware, I think.
Yeah.
They don't have, you know, as much space to dedicate to resources, but, you know, the core gameplay of the series is so friggin' awesome that I don't care. If there was one map, and as long as they kept changing the victory conditions or the circumstances that the map takes place in, it doesn't bother me. You know, I love that game to death, so I'll move on, because I could talk about it all night. I played Shank. I beat Shank in co-op. I didn't beat Shank in single player, but I'm on the last boss, so I'm going to consider that good enough. And that's a game I really, really wanted to like. And I do like it. I'm not in love with it. It's great to look at when the combat works. It's really fun, but there are things that bug me about it. Like, you're trained to do all these moves, but the moves don't work in a lot of circumstances, certainly towards the end of the game. Like, you're given this pounce move, right? You tap the right bumper, and you leap up into the air. Time slows down, and you land on an enemy, and you can, you know, murder them in any fashion you wish. And the problem is, you don't target an enemy. You hit it, and it picks an enemy out of everything that's close to you and which direction you're facing. So if there's if there are two small guys and one big guy, now the big guys, they will just throw you off and do a lot of damage if you try and leap on them. But you can leap on the little guys. So you point, like, well, there's a little guy there. There's also a big guy, but he's away from them. I hit the leap button. I jump on the big guy. I take a ton of damage. Why am I using this move? Well, it's the easiest way to kill enemies quickly. It's the easiest way to avoid gunfire. So you're pretty much used to using it. And then towards the end of the game, it becomes useless because enemies will either... it'll either miss them completely, the enemies will dodge it, or you'll land on a guy you can't pounce on. there are things like, you know, the dodge maneuver can get you stuck in an animation and launch you off the side of a platform to your death. That's no fun. There's no feedback when you parry or block a move, really. Like, I can see that I dodged a guy, but Shank doesn't stand out against a group of enemies so much, so the white blink that shows that I was dodging, really, you know, it could have been any of the guys in that group. It has a lot of problems. It's like I said, it's gorgeous to look at, the music's great, the story is fun, as silly as it is. It's gory as hell. Like, it's got all the ingredients of a game that I should like, and a lot of people really do, looking at some of the other reviews I've seen, but it just doesn't do it for me. And all the problems are, you know, doubled in co-op. I mean, one of my chief complaints about it was that, you know, most of the time you're alternating between your primary attack and your heavy attack in combo strings. But the item pickup button is also the primary attack button. So an enemy knocks me near a healing item. I'm in a group of enemies. I need to hit them. I might have close to full life, but the priority for that button is to pick up the healing item. So you have to make a conscious effort to roll away from any healing item if you don't need it, or you might accidentally pick it up. And in co-op, the way the levels are laid out, a lot of times the healing items will be in pairs. There'll be one right next to the other one. If I, you know, press, you know, the X and the X button twice and the Y button, I'll drink both health drinks and then do a heavy attack. It's, you know, it's priority. And it served as a problem. There were a lot of times that one of us would get the crap beaten out of us in co-op, and we would go to, you know, your buddy would go down, and you press the X button, which is the primary attack button, near them to save them. But he gets downed right near the healing items. Well, I might take the healing item before the game decides that I should revive my buddy. So when I revive him, he needs both those items, but I ate both of them trying to revive him.
Yeah,
it's problematic, and you know I. They could have picked a different button. I don't think it would have been that difficult. Certainly not one that, you know, someone who is not very skilled at that game is going to mash on the X button the entire way through, and it's going to be a problem. You know, people who play games like this are going to try and do combos, and it won't be as much of an issue, but you bring someone along who's not that experienced or just wants to, you know, have a good time, they're going to screw you over. You're going to eat deaths because, they dodge themselves off a cliff, they get thrown off a cliff, or they, you know, eat all your healing items. I don't know. But in better co-op news, I've been playing more Lara Croft and Guardian of Light, and that game is totally rad. I really love it. It's a lot longer than I expected it to be. I was pretty sure we had beaten it already, and, well, there was more. And I finally wrapped up Symphony of the Night on Xbox Live, and that game is just great. But I've eaten up a quarter of our podcast just talking about Valkyria Chronicles, so why don't you tell me what you've been playing?
So I played Shank as well. I actually completed the single player after 3 days of frustration with the final boss, and had most of the same problems you had, so we'll leave it at that. I've been gearing up for the football season, and I've been playing a lot of Madden NFL 11 and enjoying that. It's probably the first Madden game in a couple years that I've actually played more than like 4 or 5 games in my season, and I'm almost halfway done my first season.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of really enjoying it this year, so.
I've told you I haven't played a Madden since 04, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm just waiting for something to jump out at me, because I do like football games. I just, Madden put me off because it went more and more down the sim route, and
yeah, it's, you know, I think they did a pretty good job this year of at least balancing the ease of play. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to know a lot about like plays and strategy and stuff. You can just let the game do that for you.
Yeah,
and you can blast through a game a lot quicker.
It's not even the play calling, because I know enough about football to do all right with that. It was the complexity of pulling the play off.
Yeah.
It's like, pardon me. Like, I can read this, but I'm not sure what to do with it. And then I lose 15 yards on the play.
Yeah, I think the game does a better job than the games in the past in doing things like if you pick a running play, and you know it obviously gives you the route you're supposed to run, but you can really see the hole open up in the line and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The passing plays, you know, they always give you the primary route and highlight that, and you know, and you can see the other routes and stuff like that. And yeah, it's still, you know, you have to be able to see the guy that's open. You literally, like, you have to read the coverage and say, okay, there's two defenders on that guy's side, or there's only one on this guy's side, so chances are he's going to be more open than the other guy.
Right.
Things like that. It's definitely still very simmy. I really like, they finally have, like, realistic tackling animations and stuff. Like, the whole new look of motion system that they put in where, like, the guy's mass, like, fits into the equation when two guys hit each other. Like, you can definitely tell. It definitely looks a lot more realistic. The tackles and the hits are a lot more brutal and stuff. So I'm enjoying that aspect of it.
I don't see why EA just doesn't license that Euphoria tech from that Backbreaker game.
I know.
Because
exactly.
That's a bad football game with awesome animation, and EA makes a good enough football game with...
Yeah.
Canned crappy animation, although I guess this year it's a little different, so...
Yeah, well, I had read that up until 2 years ago, Madden was still using basically PlayStation 2 tech.
I would believe it. They have to crank it out. They have to crank it out once a year. What room is there to iterate?
I mean, that was always... I know a couple years ago, my complaint was, I still saw the same stupid run animation. Every guy ran exactly the same way. Like, it's definitely a lot more fluid, but... You're right. That Euphoria engine is amazing. It works in so many games, just in little things.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing EA kind of has their own version of it in-house now. Granted, it's not Euphoria, but because the NHL game this year has a lot of physics stuff in it. So that must be, like, the new thing. Like, they must have had a team working on their own physics engine for sports games, basically.
Here's hoping, because that's always something I was disappointed in, because I try and play the Tiger Woods game every year because mm-hmm. I love me some video golf, and the game looks nicer, but they would always use the same lighting model that they had since like 2005, so everything looks weird and flat. The terrain looks great, but the players don't look like they're there, and the animations are always really bad, and the game is really fun, so I put up with it, but, you know...
I'm actually considering picking up a Move, like a PlayStation Move, in Tiger Woods just for that. Like, that would be the only reason to get a Move.
Yeah, but I don't have enough room in my living room to...
Swing.
To swing. You know, motion control for me is pretty much limited to what I can do when standing still, pointed at my TV, or sitting on the couch.
You'd have to surf on your coffee table.
I know. I'm going to have to do something with that coffee table once Jade is...
Mobile.
Well, she's semi-mobile right now, so it's already becoming an issue, because those corners are quite pointy, and she's falling down multiple times a day, so...
Yeah. I've also been playing a little bit of Crackdown 2. I downloaded the DLC the other day and hit the DLC bug, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Is it safe yet? Do you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is safe now. You'll have to re-download it if you already got it.
Okay.
But I played a little bit of that this morning. I was playing around with Keys to the City and having fun making giant explosions.
Which is the point of Crackdown.
Yeah. I am working my way slowly but surely towards all the orbs. I'm at like 200 hidden orbs and 480... agility. So I basically what I do now is I take the helicopters and I literally like do sweeps of the city, pinging for looking for orbs and then dropping out, getting the orbs.
I'm really glad that 12-year-old taught us how to get the helicopters.
Yeah, the new DLC actually lets you spawn in a new helicopter. It's actually a 4-man helicopter.
Ooh.
And you can get it dropped in, so you don't have to go back to the base to get it.
Well, I do appreciate you, anonymous 12-year-old who played with us on co-op night.
Yeah, it definitely helped me.
It helped me. You had him muted.
Yeah, I did for a while. And finally, I started playing a free-to-play first-person shooter called Alliance of Valiant Arms. It's by a Korean company.
And no.
Shocking. A free-to-play game by a Korean company. But yeah, so I've been checking that out a little bit. I got to play a bunch this morning. It's pretty decent. I mean, the thing that stands out to me is compared to Combat Arms, which is really the only other first-person shooter, free first-person shooter I played, is it's gorgeous looking. Like, graphically, it's using the Unreal Engine 3, so there's really nice textures and stuff. And I really like the music and sound in it. Like, the production values on that are really high. The one thing, we're going to be posting a short interview and news story tomorrow about it, because there's a new piece of content coming for it that's co-op. But all the weapons in the game, like, you can purchase them, but you can also earn enough credits to purchase them in the game, like, from experience. So, like, that's different than Combat Arms. And one of the things that I actually didn't realize in Combat Arms, the way it works is, like, you can spend real money and buy, like, a weapon, and you'd buy it for, like, you'd basically rent it. You would buy a gun.
Yeah, you'll get it for, like, a week or something like
that. For, like, 30 days, yeah.
That's actually how a lot of the microtransaction models work, is you have to, like, you buy into it, you see how much of an advantage you get by having it, so it effectively becomes a subscription, because I might only be paying 99 cents, but I'm paying 99 cents every time it expires.
Yeah, so but the one thing that sucks about Combat Arms is it's 30 days of real time. So if I buy it, you know, on the first of the month and I play on the 15th and the 30th, I only got to use it twice.
Yeah, well, you know, if I pay $15 for a WoW subscription, I use it, you know, on the last day of the month of my cycle. It's the same thing.
Right. Well, in AVA, you buy time. So if I buy a gun that's an 8-hour gun, I get to use it for 8 hours of real gameplay time.
Mm.
And what's interesting is then you can actually buy different variations of it. You can buy a gun that doesn't have a time limit on it, but it can wear down, so then you can repair it. You can buy repair kits, and then that applies to different weapons. So, like, if you buy, like, 10 of these guns that are able to break down, you only need one repair kit, and then you get X amount of repairs. So there's a little more flexibility and stuff with how they run their system.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's nailed the microtransaction model quite yet. So it's interesting to see how different developers tackle it.
Yeah, the thing about these games too is there's a lot of content. I mean, there's so many guns, and every gun has, like, customization options of, like, different barrel types and magazine types and this and that you can apply to it. And the same thing for your character, you know, this kind of armor and these kind of shin pads and this kind of face mask and this, you know, it's just, there's so much stuff. And at least with AVA, I think I've maybe played 10 rounds of different game types. Like, it's constantly throwing money at you for everything you do.
Right.
And it's constantly reminding you of how close you are to the next unlock you're going to get.
Of course.
So, you know, it's like every time you try and quit, it's like, but wait, you're only 10% from your next level where you'll earn this, this, and this.
It's like trying to cancel a Gamefly account.
Yeah, exactly. but, yeah. I gotta say, I'm kind of enjoying it. It's like, every once in a while, I just want to, like, shoot things and don't really, you know, I just have, like, maybe a half hour to kill or something. I can see myself just firing this up and killing some time. I was playing, so there's one co-op mode in it right now. It's called Prison Break, and there's, like, three different varieties of it. There's one where you just have to go in and survive this inmate, all these inmates running at you, basically, with cafeteria trays. And you have to survive as long as you can. So I did that one for a little bit, and then there's another one where the prison's on fire, and you have to work your way up different floors, and then rescue somebody from the second to last floor, and then get out on the roof in a helicopter. Again, that's got the guys with the cafeteria trays, but it's also got, like, some, like, crazy guys with axes, and then there's actually boss characters when you get towards the top. So it was pretty fun. I mean, the AI is pretty stupid. You know, obviously, it's just inmates running at you with prison trays, so you can't expect them to use cover or flank you. It's just, you know, a swarm of flies, basically.
But, right.
And the one thing I like that it does that's really satisfying is, like, every time you kill, like, if you kill a guy with, like, a body shot, it like, flashes up, like, this silver little medal. And if you hit him with, like, a headshot, it flashes up, like, a gold medal. Like, it's, like, this immediate feedback, and it's, like, it's, you know, you've earned money, like, every time you kill somebody.
I imagine that Bulletstorm is going to be like that.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's all I've really been playing. I've had a busy couple of weekends celebrating some stuff with some friends.
I was going to say, we're recording a day late because you needed a day to yourself to recover.
Man, I'm getting old.
Man, I thought I was going to need days to recover.
I went to a bachelor party, and we went paintballing, which is a ton of fun. I've never been to, like, a course to paintball. I've only ever done, like, backyard paintballing.
Yeah.
And so we went to this place, and they have, like, 30 different fields, and they have different theme ones. There's one they call, like, Black Hawk Down, and they actually have, like, two big wooden helicopters they built and all this cover. And, like, basically, a lot of times we play Capture the Flag. So we had, I think, 12 guys on our team. I think maybe sometimes we had 15 with some other random people against other people. And there's, like, referees and stuff. So we played that map a couple times. There's a couple where there's, like,
You just said you played that map.
Yeah, well, no, dude, it's real-life video game, okay? That is what this is. There's even respawning. So they do have game types where you can respawn after you get out. So there was one that was like a western kind of town in buildings and stuff, which was pretty cool. But the final one that we played, which was incredible, was this castle, okay? And it was 3 stories tall. And they put a flag in the middle, and they get everybody that's there for the day. So we're talking like 300 people, maybe.
Holy crap.
Okay, and so they pick about maybe 100 people to be defenders of the castle, and then everybody else is attackers.
Oh, God, it's like the Alamo.
So as you kill defenders, they respawn as attackers. But seriously, it's like being in a battle, because so you start out and you're behind cover, they blow the whistle, and I mean, hundreds of paintballs are flying by my head. I mean, you hear them. But they say that they basically fly by about 150 to 200 miles an hour. That's how fast these things are going. So me and a couple guys, we're sitting behind cover, and we're basically just pinned there. I mean, we're hearing them hit the wood in front of us. We pop up every once in a while, fire a few shots, get back into cover. And finally, there's like a whole wooded area to the left. We're like, well, we can probably get in there. The woods will help give us some cover, and, you know, we can try and flank this thing. So, you know, we do kind of like count of 3, have someone lay some cover and fire and run. And I tell you, it was like a movie, watching the paint explode under my feet as, like, hundreds of paintballs are coming your way. I've never sprinted so fast in my life to dive behind some rocks and shrubs and crap.
That sounds like you went to a much better paintball area than I've seen around here.
Yeah, it was really cool. We were actually talking about going up like once or twice a year now, because the only problem is it's expensive. I mean, with the paintballs and like I rented like the camo jumpsuit so I didn't like ruin my clothes and everything else, I probably spent over $100.
I had a buddy who was super into that when I was in college, and he had something like an $800 paintball gun.
Yeah, some of them are ridiculous. They were selling some there, you know, they look like M16s, and they have ones that look like huge sniper rifles and stuff.
Yeah, he had one of those, and that thing meant business. Like, it used, you know how when you go to a normal paintball place, they give you, like, the little pump gun? At least they did a while ago. Now they probably have better equipment. But
yeah, they give you the ones with they're automatic with the CO2
canister. But you used to have to, like, pump it up to get a shot out. Yeah. And, you know, they put limiters on all the ones that they'll rent you to make sure you're not firing it at speeds that could hurt more.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you brought your own gear, they didn't restrict you on that. So he would... He would tag people from his dorm room window on campus just to have fun.
Yeah.
And the howls of pain heard, you know, down the street. I didn't ever want to be on the opposite team of him if we went paintballing. Yeah. Because his was flying like just enough that it wouldn't bury itself in your body and explode is just this side of deadly.
Yeah. Well, so like you said, it was just for a bachelor party, and it was for my buddy Coop. And what we did is, you know, we told the referee that it was his bachelor party, so we decided to give him a firing squad.
Oh God!
And so Coop stood up.
Oh God!
In front of like 10 or 11 of us, and we were probably about maybe 25 yards from him.
Oh God!
And he was like, I'll give you 10 seconds. And he's like, you can run. And he's like, Coop's like, no, I'll just stand there and take it like a man.
Oh, God.
And so we started firing. And he lasted about 6 seconds, and then he took off. And, man, I feel bad. You should have seen his arms and his stomach and stuff. He had so many welts. I mean, he took a beating from it. But
it's going to look like he got his ass beat.
Yeah. After we were done, though, we all lined up, and he got free shots at us then, too.
But okay, that's good.
But yeah, so anyway, we've been talking enough about the bachelor party and games and stuff. Let's talk about some news, because there is a lot of news with PAX wrapping up yesterday. Let's start with the biggest news, the biggest surprise. It's been rumored for a while, but Duke Nukem Forever is actually coming out. It's official. It was playable. It was demoed. There were interviews given galore. After 12 years, 13 years actually at this point, it's going to see the light of day next year, maybe.
because Randy Pitchford said, well, I worked on Duke 3D, and my studio doesn't suck, and I know these guys, and I guess we've got resources to spare, so, all right, we'll do it.
Yeah, and above and beyond that, it came out today.
That
actually
Gearbox
last night.
Owns it now, right?
Yep, Gearbox owns Duke Nukem now. They completed full ownership of the rights from 3D Realms. Quite a few of the 3D Realms folks now work at Gearbox as well.
It makes sense. I mean, 3D Realms was essentially a skeleton crew. It was only like 5 or 6 guys now, right?
And what actually happened was when 3D Realms closed and stopped development of the Nukem Forever, a lot of the people still continue to work on it despite the studio being closed, and they basically said it turned into a garage game. These people were working out of their homes and stuff and keeping it going, and Randy saw this, I guess. Scott Miller from 3D Realms had invited him out to go check out the progress and stuff, and I guess what came out was once Gearbox finally got a hold of everything, they said that there's almost 2 games worth of content there. There's just so much content, and basically no focus for it, right? It was just content and content and content.
Right.
So they've had it in-house for a little over a year now, and given it some focus and chopped it down a little bit in direction. There's actually 2 other studios that Gearbox has partnered with that are helping complete it. One of them, off the top of my head, I know is Piranha Games.
Why do I know that?
Yeah, I remember reading it in the interview, but now I don't have it.
Didn't they do one of the Soldier of Fortune games?
Could be. It could be.
Maybe. I don't know.
But so it is coming to 360, PlayStation 3, and PC, so they've kind of got the duty split out to help wrap it all up together. They didn't talk about any of the multiplayer, other than that it's coming. You know, we're keeping our fingers crossed that there's co-op. I mean, that was such a big deal in Duke Nukem 3D. It'd be silly to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds ridiculously over the top, and in fact, I'm guessing in its current form, it's going to be... they're going to have to cut some stuff. So I don't know if you heard. So the demo, you start playing, and basically it starts with like the stadium battle from the end of the last game, but remade in the new engine, right?
Yeah.
And you play as Duke, you fight the boss, and you beat it. And as you beat it, it pans out, and it's actually Duke Nukem playing Duke Nukem Forever. And he's like, "I waited 13 years for that. What the hell?" And then two girls come up from down, one wipes their mouth off and was like, "Well, at least was this good," or something like that. So, I mean, that was like the PAX demo. That's how it started.
That's
pretty adult.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I have news about Piranha Games.
Okay.
Okay. Piranha Games are the guys doing the new MechWarrior.
Ooh.
And they were also responsible for the lovely Die Hard Nakatomi Plaza for the PC. Ooh. So, okay. You know, there's... Hmm. I'm not sure what to think about that. But hey, they're doing Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, so they're helping out with that. We'll see. They're saying it next year.
I'm glad it's coming out, and I think... You know, it made so much sense, like the Gearbox rumor, because they're another Texas developer that does first-person shooters.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense. Like, none of the guys working on DNF would have had to relocate. They're all Dallas area, right?
Yeah, I believe it's Dallas.
So those guys could have telecommuted and just changed who signs their paychecks.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is what happened, because Gearbox probably didn't have room to blow up that big. We would have heard if they had to move offices or expand.
And what was interesting that came out, and I didn't realize this, was that Randy Pitchford actually worked on Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah.
3D Realms was his first gig. He was a level designer, and he worked with Alan Bloom, who is basically one of the original creators of Duke Nukem. And he was brought over to Gearbox, and he's kind of like the guy overseeing the thing.
Yeah. I think that two more things to add to this before we move on. We both tuned into the PAX live stream of Randy giving the demo, and it's obvious that Duke Nukem Forever is kind of a joke in the games industry for so long, but you could tell he really cared. He's like, this game has to come out. God, I want it to come. Like, he really, like, he's always so excited. I remember when he was talking about Borderlands, he's like, there's 50 bazillion guns and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, the guy loves games, and it's great to hear him talk about them. And the other thing is, in the live stream, you know, the people doing the I guess there were 2K people doing the stream, they talked to somebody, and some guy's like, the graphics, they could use a little work, but, you know, it's early. And I'm just like, bullshit, it's early. It's 13 years of development?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I want to reach to the internet and just, you know, poke him in the eye and say, look, dude.
Define early.
Yeah, that was like a Bill Clinton definition of early.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. And let's talk about Call of Duty Black Ops. Because Jim wrote a nice wrap-up article talking about what we know about Call of Duty Black Ops and its co-op mode, which we still don't know in detail what it is. This past week, right before PAX, Activision actually had a big event in LA showcasing Call of Duty's multiplayer versus modes, and the big announcement that came out from that was there's going to be an offline mode with bots, so you didn't have to go online and deal with the 12-year-olds and all that good stuff.
Do the bots at least teabag you?
We can only hope, but that is not confirmed. So basically, Jim goes through and he kind of pulls some choice quotes from other articles and stuff. And, you know, we know there's no campaign co-op, but there is co-op in this combat training mode, which is basically the team-based versus mode. So it'd be comp stomp co-op, but you can play against bots. You can earn progression towards your character and unlock things and stuff like that. So that's kind of nice. You know, split screen play for four players. The other part is the zombies mode is rumored, kind of confirmed. We know that there's definitely zombie maps returning. We don't know how they're being used because they were a pre-order bonus from Best Buy for Call of Duty World at War.
Right.
So Activision has said that, you know, there is going to be a separate revealing for the co-op mode. We have about 2 months yet to go here to the game launches. Jim had looked last for World at War, and he said it was about 5 weeks before the game launch that they announced the zombie co-op mode. So I'm guessing TGS, which is about 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away.
Doesn't make sense to announce it at TGS, though.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can figure. I guess we'll see.
There are things coming at TGS, though, that I want to hear about, like the Valkyria Chronicles 3 website that just says September 16th on it, which is during TGS.
So there you go.
Please. I want
Okay, let's move on from Valkyria Chronicles.
Okay.
Speaking, we talked earlier about some free-to-play first-person shooters. There's an interesting one coming up. Red 5 Studios has finally announced a game, and it's called Firefall. And it looks to be kind of like Borderlands meets Tribes meets World of Warcraft.
Meets Halo, I'd say. Meets Halo. It looks kind of Halo-y. It looks kind of Borderlands-y. Yeah.
It's got a neat art style to it.
Yeah.
The character models are very cartoony, but the terrain and stuff is a little more realistic.
You can tell ex-Blizzard guys worked on it, because, you know, if you look at their logo treatment and the way their website is built, it looks
like a StarCraft logo. Yeah.
And it's really funny. A buddy of mine, who I won't name, had actually been working with these guys. He had worked with them some years ago, building their websites for them. Mm-hmm. And they would never talk about their game. And this is, like, I'd known about them forever. And when they announced the game, like, oh, those guys have a game?
Yeah.
I thought they just had a series of constantly updating websites.
So, if you don't know, the studio was founded by an ex-World of Warcraft lead developer, Mark Kern, and Star Siege Tribes lead designer, Scott Young, which is what excites everybody, because... everybody that ever played a PC game and played Star Siege loved Star Siege. So
and Tribes is to this day the best multiplayer shooter I've ever played. I've not played anything that's come close to it. I've played,
and it's not just the jetpacks. Everybody remembers
the jetpacks.
It's
not the jetpacks. There's a very deliberate pace to it. There's the fact that the maps are enormous. There's the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, we were putting 64 players on a map. That's still not something common on consoles these days.
Yeah,
it was so far ahead of its time that, and everybody that gave it a chance loved it. And I know people that still play it.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It looks very promising. They put out 10 minutes of gameplay from it, free to play. You can't beat that. So at least we know we'll all be trying it. You know, they said that they're gonna make money not on expansion packs and stuff like that, but on in-game content, probably the kind that Mike was talking about earlier with time this and that and mini subscriptions, I guess.
Do you remember what EA did with Battlefield 2? They had what were called booster packs.
Yeah,
that you'd pay five. It's essentially like DLC expansions. You'd pay some money and you get some new weapons and some new maps and maybe a new mode or two, and they would, you know, hit you every couple months for this. I could see a game like this being free to play and being supported on things like that. Like, the core game is free, but you gain access to this other area if you give us $10 once. Like, I don't know how it would pay for servers in the long run, but I could see a game being supported on a model like that, especially if it takes off.
Yeah. But yeah, it still looks really promising. Definitely on our radar. Right now it's looking for a late 2011 release. It looks very co-op-ish, some of the videos and stuff. Like, you know, it shows a team of guys fighting off, like, swarms of these little alien guys running around and stuff like that. There's also going to be a versus element to it, so...
Yeah.
More on that as it comes. Crackdown 2 DLC, we were talking about this earlier. When it was first released, it was causing some serious problems, namely it didn't work. You couldn't even get a game started.
Yeah.
It turns out it was the way the DLC was packaged or something like that. So luckily they didn't need to do a patch or anything. It was just re-releasing the DLC in the correct format.
Some fool put it up in 7-zip format, but we only have WinZip.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's basically what happened. And it's good to go, though, now. So if you want to get your jetpacks on, since we were just talking about jetpacks, as well as a couple new vehicles. There's a semi-amphibious tank vehicle and a new helicopter. There's some new weapons, some new achievements.
How are the new achievements? Because Crackdown is a game that I actually strive to get some of the crazier achievements on.
No, I didn't even look at what they were, to be honest. I really just wanted the jetpack. So now all I've been doing is trying to find the orbs and trying to get my driving skill up, because that's like the last one to freaking max out, because you have to have a max agent to get the jetpacks.
Yeah, I have...
It's actually like Iron Man style, like, feet jetpacks.
Nice. Yeah, because I I try in Crackdown 2 to get the crazy achievements. Like, I spent an hour trying to flip my car with the Gatling gun going so I could get that one where you're upside down, and I still can't do it.
What were we trying? The one where you had to juggle it with the UV gun between players. We're trying that.
It may just be easier with more players.
That's true.
Because you could go in a big square and everyone could cover the area better.
Yeah, that was kind of the problem. We were having problems keeping it in a line between us. It would get away from us.
Yeah.
So I'm looking real quick at what the achievements are, because it added 250 achievement points. It looks like some of them are because it added a vehicle tag mode to the versus modes. Basically, it looks like the cat and mouse mode from Midtown Madness.
Oh, nice.
So there's a couple.
That's a series I miss.
Yeah, that was a great series. Kill 100 enemies in 1 minute using the squad chopper. So
nice.
The squad chopper, not only does it have, like, Gatling guns, it has, like, mines you can drop. So I can see that being pretty easy with a bunch of zombies. Soared over 500 meters in a single flight using the thrusters and the wingsuit. Successfully complete 5 tactical locations with all agents in the same squad chopper. So there's a lot of co-op achievements that added.
Nice.
This is a new one, I think. Hang 5 enemies off the floor using the mag grenades. Oh, the one new weapon they added that I got to check out is basically like a mag gun. You can suck in anything with it, like, and hold it, and then you can launch it.
So it's upgraded gravity gun.
Yeah, basically it's like a gravity gun.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's looking pretty solid. In fact, I'm itching to play it now, and I think after we're done here, I'm going to play some more Crackdown.
I know what I'm playing.
Okay, moving on. Oh. Xbox Live and gold prices. The internet. The day the internet exploded.
Stop whining. Buy your discounted cards like you always have, because you didn't want to pay the $50 in the first place. Yeah, going to get discounted cards.
So Microsoft raised the price of Xbox Live $2. Or $10 a year.
I will eat my shoe if people who care about this actually even pay the $50 they would have in the first place.
Yeah. So $10 a year comes out to like 70-some cents a month.
83 cents.
Okay, there you go. 83 cents a month,
and that's only if you're lazy and you apply for the month at a time, you know, pay as you go subscription.
Yeah,
which is a complete rip because it's like $90 a year versus $50 in a store.
I think the best way to put in perspective was the price of Xbox Live has been the same now for 7 years. If you can name another service that has kept the same price for 7 years, you know, that would be pretty amazing. You know, cell phone service, phone service, cable TV, satellite, internet, you name it. Yearly is usually going up. Maybe every 2 years those things go up, unless you lock into contracts and stuff, which you can do with Xbox Live. In fact, Microsoft is offering a discount. You can lock in for an additional year at even more, like $40 a year. So you could skip that whole first year of a higher price.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure my Live subscription doesn't actually. I don't have to pay again until like 2012. So
yeah, I checked. You can check on the website. I checked mine, and it was January of 2012. I think the last time Amazon had cards for, they had it for like $31 or something. I picked up two.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll continue to be that way. I mean, really, you know, if you do the month to month, it's almost an invisible hike because, you know, it's less than a dollar a month. You're not going to notice that. It's the people who buy the cards that this hits the hardest.
Yeah, the people that are pissed off basically because they just want to play multiplayer and they feel like they're getting charged for the Twitter, the Facebook, the Netflix, and everything else that Microsoft is adding to the service. So the call is for a tiered service.
I wouldn't mind it. It
would be nice.
It's already technically tiered.
Yeah, but Microsoft isn't stupid, and they know that 80% of their, you know, customer base wants just the multiplayer gaming, and that's where the money is.
I'm interested in seeing how many people actually have gold accounts.
They released that number at some point. I remember them saying, when was it? Was it around the 5-year anniversary? At one point, they had said it was like 55% are actually gold. And it was at a time when they were at like, I want to say 11 or 12 million members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people bring up, like, oh, I'm paying all this money. And it's like, you know, they're like, do you actually think this is worth it? And a lot of people are like, yeah, I think they have a service that's worth paying for, so I'll gladly pay it. I mean, there's a big argument on the forums. And I actually didn't start paying for a gold account for at least 2 years after I had my 360. I had an old gamertag on my original Xbox that I kept re-upping with the brand. Remember when you'd get 3-month cards?
Yeah.
With like Halo and stuff? Like, I'd up it for 3 months, and, you know, I wouldn't re-up it. I'd cancel out immediately, because I'd only play a game for so long.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't think it was until Halo 3 came out that I decided to actually pay for anything on my 360 that way. Because until, you know, it was after then that things like downloads became gold exclusive. Like, you know, oh, this demo is only for gold members, or it's only for gold members for a week or whatever. They started doing that in like 07 or 08.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I had a co-op game to play that I actually ponied up for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, pay for it when you think it's worth it. If you don't think it's worth it, stop complaining. Don't pay for it. Vote with your wallet. A lot of people feel that they're locked into paying for this. I'm like, gaming is a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, you can, I'm not going to tell you to buy a PS3 because that's silly. But multiplayer gaming can be attained in any number of ways, and it doesn't always have to be on your 360. If you have a computer, you can play any number of, like, free-to-play games. You can play MMOs. You can play old games that still have servers up. You can, you know, go on Good Old Games or Steam and get plenty of multiplayer stuff to play. So saying that you're locked into paying $60 a year is like saying the only game that you ever want to play is Call of Duty, and you have to pay $60 a year to play it online. I'm like, you can get the PC version of that, and, you know, but I don't know. It's annoying, and people never, you know, a lot of people bitch about stuff like that, but they never follow through.
Yeah.
Almost never. Like, oh, consumer rage, this is anti-consumer, but I'll gladly suck your balls for another year because you're giving me a Call of Duty game. You know, it's like, put up or shut up. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people complaining about prices in general. If you cannot afford something, if it's out of your budget, you shouldn't be paying for it in the first place. If a $10 year-to-year hike is that much of an issue for you, you probably can't afford the $50 you were paying already.
Yeah.
So,
I think to wrap it up, you know, we talked about other options and stuff. We have a user who was a strong PlayStation 3 gamer, is a strong PlayStation 3 gamer. He's been on our site since as long as I can remember, and he actually ended up winning our 1,000 co-op games contest and won the Xbox 360 from us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's only had it maybe a month and a half, and he had posted in that thread, like, he's like, you know, I never really understood what the difference was between, you know, Xbox Live and PlayStation Network and why people were paying it. And he goes, even though I see this price raise now, he's like, I see why people are paying it and it's worth it. I'm going to pay it. Like, there is a difference there.
Here's where I stand on it. I think him seeing the light is the same thing. PlayStation Network allows you to play games online. Xbox Live is a service. You are getting something for your money month over month. Whereas with PSN, you're getting bad non-standard voice chat, free online play, but on a system that doesn't come standard with microphones. So you're forced to buy a microphone if you want to play, and Bluetooth headsets universally suck. Like, I don't care how expensive it is. Yeah. Bluetooth is a terrible standard for this. And, you know, the stuff on the Xbox isn't much better, but you know what? It comes with a headset. You don't need to spend any extra money for it. And there's things like them taking how many years to get cross-game voice chat? Do they even have that yet?
No.
It's things that have existed in the 360 since day one still don't exist on PSN. And I love my PlayStation 3. I think PSN is great for what it is, but they're not the same thing. I would not pay for PSN. I think I pay too much for Xbox Live, but I feel that it's worth the enjoyment I get out of it is worth what I pay. Like, I don't, you know, it is a little too much, but you know what? So are many things.
So let's segue from there into something you were just talking about with the next news story, and that, you know, you've brought up voice quality, in that the next Xbox Live dashboard update is actually going to improve the voice chat and the quality in it, because the codec that they've been using was put in place when 64 kilobyte speeds was considered high speed, which was basically just over your 56.6 modem.
Yeah, yeah.
And as an avid MMO player, you know, using Ventrilo for, you know, years now has really spoiled me on voice chat, because Ventrilo has better voice quality than what we're experiencing over Skype right now. You know, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like people are in the next room or, you know, across from you. And we're playing a high-end, you know, we're playing something like WoW, which, you know, that's no insignificant amount of data being, you know, pushed through your connection at any time.
Right.
So, you know, it can work.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how the quality is.
Well, the thing is, they can upgrade the codec all they want, but it's only going to sound as good as the speaker in those little headsets, right? So they've probably been, you know, due to that codec, they've been able to lowball the free headset.
Maybe. That's true. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what just how good that little headset is.
It's not very good, but, you know, it comes with the system, and it works.
Some game, you know, I've heard other sound coming through the headset besides that voice. Like, for instance, in Madden, if you have the headset on, the offensive and defensive coordinator will call the plays to you through it.
That's funny.
It's decent enough.
I imagine it's probably on the same quality as the thing in the Wii Remote.
It's a little bit better than that.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on. And
we've been talking a long time.
I know. It's the 50th episode. We can talk as long as we want, and people will be happy. They get more for their money.
Yeah.
Wait, we're not getting any money, though. Well,
wait, what?
We're just good guys.
Oh, okay. I agree. We are quite good.
Let's talk Rock of the Dead and a slightly piece of sad news. The Wii version is going to be kind of not rocking this fall. Instead, it's been put on hold for the 360 and PlayStation 3 versions of the game, which will be out this fall. I think it's October 5th, actually, is the release date on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game that's basically like a Unreal shooter meets Rock Band or Guitar Hero. You can use a guitar, or you can use your drums with it.
It's typing of the dead with a guitar.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
It's fun. I got to play it at E3. I really liked it. I think it'll be a good party game. There's some good talent behind it, too. We had Felicia Day and Neil Patrick Harris. Rob Zombie does all the music in the game, including, you know, some original tracks, as well as some heavy metal versions of classical music and stuff like that. So, looking forward to that. Two-player co-op there. What else? Oh, another interesting game that was announced is Dungeon Defenders. And we actually looked at this game a couple months ago when it was a free demo for the UDK, or the Unreal Engine 3 like development kit.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time it was called Dungeon Defense. And they put it together in like 4 weeks, and I know Tally checked it out and was pretty impressed with what they had. And it's basically like tower defense meets a co-op RPG. I don't know if you checked out the video for this or anything. It looks pretty hectic and crazy, but they're putting out a full release for it now. It's called Dungeon Defense. It'll be out this fall, I believe, on Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and PC. Four-player co-op, offline, online play, drop-in, drop-out, like, I mean, it's fully loaded for co-op. You have four character classes you can pick from: an apprentice, a huntress, a monk, and a squire. Each one has like their own little, you know, unique abilities that contribute to the party. Strong focus on like loot collecting, player stats. There's gonna be huge boss encounters, and it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it kind of came out of, not that it came out of nowhere, but the fact that they decided to really polish it, and make it into a full featured product is, it's looking pretty solid. So that one's coming out this fall, and we'll wrap things up with the game that I'm dying to get my hands on now.
You know our next podcast is going to be late because you're going to be playing it, right?
Yeah, you know what sucks too? I just found out the day Halo Reach comes out, Jamie's going to a Lady Gaga concert, which means I'm on Izzy duty that night, which means Izzy is going to learn how to play Halo Reach real fast.
Well, she can already hold the controller. It's one step away from co-op.
I don't know if you saw my tweet from a couple. It was maybe last week.
She made a 15-yard pass play in Madden or whatever.
Yeah, the game was paused. The controller was sitting on the floor, and I was chasing her around for something she was doing. She picked it up, unpaused it, hiked the ball, and passed the ball down the field. Like, Jesus, that was pretty funny. So,
well, Jade has already learned that buttons do things. So,
yeah, it's not long they start correlating between, like, you know, the TV remote and the TV and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but yeah, Halo Reach is coming out, and Bungie officially confirmed there's matchmaking in every co-op mode in the game.
About that time.
That includes the campaign and firefight. This will be great, because even, like, you know, you can have two people together. You want to get two more to get your four-player co-op campaign going. It'll fill those in for you. You know, all the co-op modes are going to have the experience points and stuff that you can use to unlock things to customize your character and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I just saw, this is kind of somewhat off topic, I was just watching some PAX videos, because Bungie had all of the team, or the Spartans from Noble Team there at PAX, all dressed up and stuff. So one of the videos was of Kat dancing to the one Wii dance game in the full outfit with the Bungie team. It was pretty funny. So if you ever see it was to that Benny Bessay song, Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Yeah.
So it was some pretty funny things. But yeah, September 14th is less than 2 weeks away. What are we now? It is actually a week and one day away. Holy crap. Yeah, so I said earlier this morning on Twitter, actually, I said, between that and Civ 5, like, I'm pretty much set for the rest of the year for gaming. I really, like, that would be all I need, and I'm happy.
Yeah, there's that and not much else that I really have to get.
I mean, we're gonna go right into this now, since we're running late. Speaking of games for the rest of the year, we want to do a little fall preview and most anticipated games. We had posted up the kind of Co-Optimus' official, you know, top five anticipated games this fall feature. But there's a lot more coming out than what we posted. You know, it's hard to narrow it down to just five.
I mean, we got taken to task for a specific game that wasn't on there.
Yeah, so the big one that everyone was pissed that we missed was Little Big Planet 2.
I'll say this right now. Co-op in Little Big Planet sucked.
Yeah, it was really pretty lacking direction. I mean, it's one of those. It's a sandbox co-op game. It's what you make of it. And Little Big Planet 2, to be fair, it does look like it's going to offer a lot more in terms of content creation and stuff like that. But it's only as strong as its community and stuff. And Little Big Planet had a big problem when it launched with people's stuff just getting wiped, disappearing, like this and that. Obviously, I would hope that that stuff's not going to be an issue with the new game, and that's all settled and stuff.
I mean, I thought, you know, what I played of the original game, it was the single player stuff was really fun and charming, but I just felt that the way the physics worked and everything made co-op really untenable. It wasn't fun to play, and like the most fun I had with it was when you could, like, you know, make your little sack boy slap the other player. You know, moving around the levels wasn't fun. It was, you know, like beating on people, and that wasn't what the focus of that game was. And, you know, I'm not going to ever say that Little Big Planet was a bad game. I really did. You know, I was charmed by it. You know, it has qualities that make it awesome. But the co-op in the first one doesn't make me anticipate the second one for co-op. It makes me anticipate the second one because I know they'll do another really charming, fun game.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, like Mike said, we got raked across some coals by the community for that one. As we go through this list, like, that's really the only, like, quote-unquote big PlayStation 3 title this fall that's co-op. There's not a lot on that platform for co-op this fall.
That's not, you know, already on another platform.
Right, that's not exclusive to the platform. Because you look at, you know, Microsoft has two big ones in Halo Reach and Fable 3. Let's keep going through the list. Tomorrow is probably the first AAA co-op title coming out. And that's Tom Clancy's Hawks 2, which is 360, PS3, and I believe PC. It's going to have four-player co-op. The first game was a lot of fun in co-op. It seems a little early to me to have the sequel. Like, I don't know. I'm just not that into it. I'm perfectly content with just playing the first one some more.
I loved the demo for the first one, but I didn't buy it.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I haven't read enough on it or seen enough on it to see what's so different about the sequel, or if it's just more of the same and a tighter experience.
I'll tell you, the last time I played a game, like, in an arcade afterburner-like shooter like that, you know, was G-Lock on my friggin' Game Gear.
Jeez.
It was, you know, it's the last time I really gave one of those a serious chance. Like, I guess something like Crimson Skies counts. But, you know, they're not making Crimson Skies games anymore because they thought, you know, Dark Void was a good idea.
And we all know how that went.
Yeah, well...
Into the Dark Void.
Oh, God. Yeah, I really wanted to... The game's soundtrack was amazing, but yeah, there's a reason for that. Anyway, back to Hawks. I mean, it looks cool, and I thought the demo for the first one was really fun. It's just... You know, that's such an... Like, that type of shooter has got to be a niche title these days, I feel. And, it was a year ago that the first one came out, right?
Yeah, like I said, it just seems too soon to me. Yeah. I don't know. What else we got? Also coming out this week, this month, on September 8th, Plants vs. Zombies on Xbox Live Arcade. It's going to have that co-op mode. It's... not going to be the focus of the game, but it should be a nice addition to it, I would think.
Plants vs. Zombies is a great game, but I haven't seen a good example of co-op tower defense yet, so I will play it because, as I said, Plants vs. Zombies is a great game, but it's got to prove that it's a good co-op game to me.
Yeah. Also, we don't have a solid date on this, but we know it's coming this month sometime, I believe, is the PlayStation Network version of Alien Breed Impact. It's already out on PC. The 360 version was called Alien Breed Evolution?
Something like that.
That came out a while ago, but Impact made some changes to it graphically and tightened some things up. So that's coming out as well. We already mentioned 14th. We're talking 7 to 8 days now. Halo Reach, yes, please. That was our most anticipated game this fall. Pretty much unanimous. I think everybody on the staff, even people that don't play Halo, said, "I think I want to check that one."
That just shows our 360 bias, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that most of the staff games on 360, but I mean. I think most of us all own PlayStation 3s.
I own every platform. I game on every platform, but I do my multiplayer gaming on my 360.
Yeah, and that's
the only reason there's bias. If I had a billion friends on PSN, I would play there, but everybody bought Xboxes. So yeah. I play on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Achievements sustain me. Trophies are not as good as achievements. There's no point value. I don't see a little thing that says 20 points. I see a little thing that says bronze and a meaningless bar graph.
See, Sony, you missed the bar. You missed it. All you need to do is a little experience points or something for it.
If I had a little number that went up every time I got a point, and not like this little bar that fills up and then my 5 turns into a 6. I want data. I want to see. I have 302.5 achievement points. Get on it.
Here we go. What else we got coming out? Lara Croft in the Guardian of Light is going to be hitting PlayStation Network and PC.
Play it.
Yeah, it's and the good thing when that hits the 360 version, we'll get its online patch. It's a solid. I haven't played that game enough, but it is very solid. And from all accounts, the co-op is amazing.
Here's what I can tell you about it. I downloaded it on Jim's. You know, reading Jim's review of it, and I said, you know what, you know, he knows. You know, because he brought up Snowblind Studios by name, and I really loved Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
And so when he name checked them when he's talking about Guardian of Light, it's like, I don't care what the score is. I have to see this. If you're drawing that comparison. So I checked it out, and I fell in love with it right away. And Jason came over, and I was like, hey, you want to come play some co-op games or whatever? Do some couch co-op. And, you know, I showed him Lara Croft, and he's telling me he was really skeptical about it. And we played. He went home and bought it so he could keep playing it.
Yeah.
And it's just that fun. It's a great co-op experience. The best part about it, I think, are the puzzles. And in that weird perspective, you wouldn't think there'd be as many puzzles, but there's some tricky bits to that game. You know, you have to think in really creative things. Like there's one that we just did. There's a platform surrounded by fire and lava, and there's some switches, so you can get someone. There's an outer ring with this fire, and you can't cross either ring of fire. But you can grappling hook across to it, and your partner can stand on the wire and, you know, balance their way across. But the switches only allow you to, you know, open up one ring at a time. So you open up the ring that allows you to fire across it. Your buddy jumps over he jumps onto it. Tightrope walks through the center of it, and you have to walk counterclockwise around this thing. While you're avoiding traps yourself, and he's moving up and down on the tightrope to avoid the fire, and it's very creative, it's very fun, and that's not the only example of a really, you know, out of the box puzzle. There's some really fun challenge rooms and things that allow you to flex your brain, and I've always found puzzles like that work best in co-op. Whenever I play Prince of Persia, you know, I'm good at those games, but, you know, some of my friends who are just watching it, they don't have the worry of the platforming to deal with. They're like, oh, well, I've already figured out how this puzzle works. So by the time I get to it and I'm puzzling over it, they're like, oh, well, you just want to do this. Sure, it ruins it, but it ruins solving the puzzle, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, my wife does it a lot. She's like, you should turn that one. It's fun.
Let's move on. Dead Rising 2 on the 27th of, or 28th of this month, on PlayStation 3 and 360. Will be some co-op zombie killing in the casino.
I was on the fence about that until I played Case Zero, which is really fun, and for, you know, minuscule price, you get a pretty good chunk of game to play. Like, it's about as long as your average, you know, arcade game anyway. Plus, it's replayable, and it has the whole thing of, like, oh, you could beat it in 90 minutes if you really, you know, push towards it. But, you know, there's all these other survivors that you can find and help out. And, you know, you come up with all the weapon combinations, and it's fun. It's janky as hell. My favorite part of it is there's this bike that you're supposed to build so you can escape this little town, and you find it and you put it in a little pushable dumpster.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
It's this crazy bike, and you're supposed to push it, but you keep getting knocked away from it, and eventually it'll bug, and you can pick it up as if it weighed nothing.
And you can beat the zombies with
you
it,
can
too.
Bash zombies. It's like, it's quintessential Dead Rising, the game not operating the way it's supposed to, but being more fun because of it.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely got some neat little things. I like some of the new weapons and items. My personal favorite, I don't know if you got the shower head yet.
No, but I loved the shower head in the first game.
Okay, see, I don't remember a shower head being in the first game.
In the first game, if you had a shower head and you did the heavy attack, you would stick it in the top of their head, turn it, and then blood would shower out of it.
Yeah, that's what it does in this one. Yeah. See, I never got to see that in the first game.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff, and everybody likes the drill bucket in this as the what are weapons you can build.
And serve bot heads and all. And dressing, I can never remember Chuck's, dressing Chuck as a diner waitress.
I didn't find that outfit yet. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, let's move on.
Okay.
What else is coming out
Fable.
This month?
Oh, not this month.
No. No, not this month. We still got some others, though. Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. 360, PS3, Wii. Yeah, it's Guitar Hero.
It's got Rush's entire 2012 album in it, which is, awesome. But I'm trying really hard to care about these music games now. I love, I was really big into Rock Band. I really loved Rock Band 2. But Rock Band 3, I don't know. Next Guitar Hero, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah. So the big thing with the new Guitar Hero is there's actually like a story quest mode thing. I don't know.
It worked so well for Tony Hawk.
Yeah. I will say that this Guitar Hero seems to be a lot more focused on what it wants to be. It's all metal and heavy rock. Yeah, there's very little like poppy kind of stuff in it. All the characters like morph into like these crazy beasts and stuff, and it's got some direction. I think it's a little more focused than the past ones, which might save it. Of course, it's got the Guitar Hero name, which it's still selling itself on, despite Rock Band's popularity and everything.
I mean, it'll be nice to have some focus again. I mean, for heaven's sake, Rock Band has Snoop Dogg in it now. Like, it's not a rock game anymore. It's a music game.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to call yourself Rock Band, be full of music that can at least be extrapolations of rock, whether it be prog or the more rock and country tunes that exist. But, I don't... Like, what is the point of putting rap in a rock game? Like, even like the Beastie Boys stuff that had guitars in it didn't really work because it was a loop. Like, you're playing a guitar loop, and sure, the vocal part's fun, but, I don't know.
Yeah, alright, so let's keep moving on. Another game coming out this month. We have a Wii version and a PlayStation 3 version. Both are motion-controlled, and that's Lord of the Rings, Aragorn's Quest. Two-player co-op in that. It's a family-style game. Should be solid, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
It could be fun. Mark really likes a lot of the games in that style that would otherwise fly under my radar. I'm always interested
there's definitely a market out there for it.
I mean, I have a kid now. I'm going to have to start paying attention to crap like this. Like, it may not be the most engaging game for me, but I'll have a blast playing it with my daughter if she decides she likes to play games.
Yeah. So we were just kind of talking about this, but there is a rap music game coming out.
Def Jam Rap Star.
That's right, right in the beginning of October. I think it's going to do quite well that because there is an untapped market there, and they're doing a lot of things that caters to that market, especially with a lot of freestyle rapping stuff and sharing that music you do and posting videos and rap battles and this and that. And
I know, it sounds awesome, but I'm still going to take them to task for radio edits. I know they have to hit a teen rating, but...
Yeah. Well, according to them, the mature versions will be, some of the songs will be DLC.
It can be DLC because DLC is not rated all the time. So, I know. It's just, it's going to suck. Everyone knows the bad lyrics, and all a radio edit does is insert the F-bomb into your head. I was watching a comedian the other day. He's saying when people say something like the N-word, on the news.
Yeah.
Like, you know what word that is.
Yeah.
I didn't, they don't have to say it, but they made you think it.
Well, there's this whole argument on Colony of Gamers I had posted because, I won't get into it, but I basically asked the question of what is swearing, and there's like a 4 or 5 page thread discussion about it. There's some pretty good points.
This piggybacks off of Lauren's post, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's how it all started. So we won't get into it now because we're already running late. But if you want a good discussion on what is swearing, what does it mean, bleeping this and out, what's the point? Head over to Colleen and Gamers in the lounge form, and you'll find it there. It's a 4 or 5 page thread at this point. What else we got coming out? I think some of these are placeholders because, like, The Conduit 2 just got delayed until next year. I think this Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Predator game, though, is coming out. That's a PlayStation Portable title. That's supposed to be out in October. That looks pretty solid. I don't know if any of the Ghost Recon games are on the PlayStation Portable.
No, I think it was pretty much... That market was pretty much cornered by the SOCOM games.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that does. Also in October, we have Two Worlds 2. We'll finally see if it's as good or as bad as we hope.
I hope it's the next Deadly Premonition.
So that's 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. What else? We got Final Fantasy and the Four Heroes of Light. It's a Nintendo DS title with co-op. You can do four-player co-op. I think that's just one of the ones where, like, you just guest as one of the characters in a friend's game. You can't, like, create a character and bring them in. Like, it's a set of four characters.
Yeah. It's got great art direction. It's got the guy from Final Fantasy Tactics doing it.
Yeah. And we talked about Rock of the Dead earlier in the podcast. That's coming out as well in October on 360 and PlayStation 3. There's also a PC version of Lost Planet 2 with DirectX 11 graphics and 3D support.
3D, yes.
Yeah. All that good stuff.
This is the sound of me caring about 3D. Lost Planet 2 is a game that I really... I'll give it a chance when I only pay like $30 for it, I think. I don't know. I want to like games like that, but it always ends up rubbing me the wrong way. And the demo put me off extremely, mostly due to the way the controls work.
I got to play that a couple weeks ago with Sam, and the patch fixed up some of the save and checkpoint issues, and it's still, I don't know, it's fun in short doses, I think. I definitely started to get tired of it after a couple levels.
It's kind of like you know, diverging a bit, but if the boss focus in Lost Planet, if you take that and the large levels, and you mash it with something like Borderlands, like at the end of Borderlands, there's that Cromorax battle, right? Which is essentially a Lost Planet type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that could work really well, except, you know, tuned to be a little easier. But, I don't know, it's just... Lost Planet, to me, feels like it should be a first-person shooter, but they don't want to commit to it. And, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Alright, what else we got in October? Fable 3, I think it's the 26th of October. The 360 version, anyway. PC version's kind of up in the air. Yeah, well, it's up in the air when it's gonna be released. But you got your two-player co-op in that, online and local, and supposedly it's fixed and better. There's actually... they had a little Fable 3 event before PAX, and a lot of the impressions coming out of it have been really good. They said that the new... menu system, or lack thereof, is pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of anxious to see exactly how it works.
I'm always anxious to play a Fable game because there's always something I really love about them, and there's always something I really hate about them. And unfortunately with Fable 2, what I really hated about it was the co-op. Yeah. I felt the rest of the game was, not always consistently brilliant, but it was always really fun. It had enough of the sandbox that you could make your own fun when you wanted to, but it had a lot more engaging story than the first game. So I look forward to what they do with the campaign in this, but Peter Molyneux's got to prove that they can do a good co-op game too.
Yeah. So that about wraps up October. Pushing into November, we gotta, we're starting to hit some unconfirmed games. The only confirmed ones we got here, Dungeon Defenders, which we talked about a little bit earlier, is going to be out the 1st and 2nd of November. PC, Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network. And then an interesting one here, this combo, is you have Apache Air Assault and Call of Duty Black Ops on the same day, November 9th. Now, Apache Air Assault is a... it's an Activision-published game. and it's a semi-budget title. It's still, I think it's still $50 if you want to call it $50 budget. But it's got two-player co-op, action sim, you know, Apache helicopter flying, and then Call of Duty Black Ops. You know, one of the big features of it was you get to fly helicopters.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are they doing? It's like they're basically sending Apache Air Assault to its grave, like right away, to go up against it like
but,
that.
But you are right about it being a budget title. I mean, you know, Activision can't monetize that franchise year over year, so you're only going to pay $50 for it year over year. So that's budget.
Yeah.
You know, they got you by the balls for $60 every year on Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Plus the map packs.
Plus the map packs. Plus WoW. Plus Cataclysm's coming. Probably this year.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just trying to look and see if there's any others we may have missed that don't have dates.
There's something in December, isn't there?
No, nothing on our list. There's a few things next year, some big ones. We got like Portal 2, Lord of the Rings War in the North, Hunted Demons Forge, Fear 3 got pushed, Brink, Spec Ops The Line, Gears of War 3. Quite a few big ones next year, but it looks like this... Let's hit up the PlayStation 3. You know, there's... One thing I know we need to do with our database is hit up Steam and some of the smaller indie titles... have added some co-op. I noticed that Audio Surf added a co-op mode.
Really?
Yeah, that was listed under the indie section with co-op, so I'm going to need it. I own that, so I want to check that out.
I own that, too. You want a co-op?
Yeah, we will have to check that out. Here's one I don't know how I glanced over. Rock Band 3.
It all kind of faded in when I was rambling about Guitar Hero.
Yeah. And here's another one I missed. I don't know why these weren't popping up on our release calendar, unless they just got jammed together with things. Time Crisis Rising Storm is out in October. That's a PlayStation Move compatible light gun shooter. DJ Hero 2, that's out in October. There's a lot of music games coming out this fall. That's what, 4, 5? You got Def Jam, you got DJ Hero, you got Rock of the Dead, you got... Guitar Hero and Rock Band 3, so five music titles.
I really hope this is the last year. We have five music titles coming out. It's not like last year where it was like critical mass, but you know, Rock Band seems content to do the 2-year thing with it, at least its main line.
Yeah, because the last game was the Beatles Rock Band.
Well, it was Green Day Rock Band.
Oh, I completely neglected that game. That was in June, right?
So. Well, it's like, you know, I really loved Green Day when I was 14, and you know who really loves Green Day now? 14-year-old.
Okay.
Things have come full circle.
Oh, jeez. What else we got here? I'm just looking through PC releases. You know, a lot of times Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network, these games pop up that you haven't heard of or haven't heard from in a while, and they're like, oh yeah, we're releasing in 2 weeks. There's that one that they were just talking about. It looks like you control a dragon. It's on PlayStation Network. It's like a 4-player co-op thing where you're like burning villages and stuff. It's like a top-down shooter with a dragon.
It's a Trogdor game?
No, it's based on a board game, I think, actually.
Of all things.
Crap, I don't have it here. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Anyway, so I think that might be coming this fall as well. The database needs some serious TLC. Eric went through and added all those games and stuff. I think we need to have someone go back and check some dates on some things and stuff like that. Because a lot of times when we put them in, we just give them placeholder dates and stuff, and then they never get up.
Well, because it'll be announced, and then it'll go up for pre-order, and we'll get our date off of Amazon or GameStop, and then, you know, time makes fools of us all.
So here's a news story I actually had on our list, and I skipped over it, and I can't believe you didn't say something, because this was one that was kind of for
Batman?
You. Yes.
I thought you were just skipping stuff because we were running long, so I didn't say anything.
No. So I kind of wanted to talk about this, because Batman Arkham City has confirmed multiplayer. but we just don't know what. The exact quote was, "Multiplayer is a certainty, but no details on this yet."
And then there's a screenshot of, you know, there's the Game Informer cover where Batman has Catwoman tied up, but with him. And then there's screenshots of Catwoman attacking other bad guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could extrapolate co-op from that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. We hope for some kind of co-op. But who knows? It might be. I think it was Computer and Video Games said that, you know, it could just be like multiplayer challenges. Like, you know, the last game had that challenge mode. So it could be kind of like that.
You know what I want? I think would actually be really, really good for this game in particular is, it's like the Mercs versus Spies mode in Splinter Cell, where one player is Batman and everyone else are goons. And the other team has to work to take Batman out. I think multiplayer like that would actually be really rad and fit the series. If it's not, you know, co-op. You know, Batman has Robin and Nightwing and all kinds of other things to, you know, tap into for, you know, co-op. But, you know, you could be creative. I can see how they would do it. And some of the things I see make me excited, but, you know, I might have a better imagination than the developers.
I think the game's a long way off. I think it's next fall, right?
Sometime next year. I would assume next fall.
So, yeah, we've got a while to go for that, but that'll be one to keep an eye on. The game I was trying to think of for PSN was called Horde.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because we don't use that name to describe any number of other things.
Yeah, it's H-O-A-R-D instead of H-O-R-D-E.
Right.
Do you remember, wasn't there an old PC game called the Horde.
Yes, Horde.
That was a fun little game.
And, you know, it was Kirk Cameron before he became Bible crazy.
Okay, so now that we've been talking for an hour and a half, let's wrap things up.
Oh, I was having so much fun.
I know, everybody was having a lot of fun, but unfortunately we're
it's late and I had surgery on Friday, so
that's right. And you actually had surgery that affects your podcasting ability.
Yes.
You had surgery of the mouth.
Yes. No, you know, as you can tell, the dentist cannot keep a man down.
All right, so upcoming co-op releases, I think we could skip over that because we've talked about that. Some site stuff. We only had two reviews, Shank and Madden NFL 11.
Shank? Here's my last word about Shank. It is fun, but it's fun with some caveats. It was a lot more fun in co-op, but whenever one of the issues came up, it became decidedly less than fun.
Yeah, I think at $15, it's priced a little too high. I think at $10, it's a little bit.
I think it's got $15 production values, but I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Slight features. We had co-op couples by Cat, actually, this time, called the Third Wheel, or the Taking Advantage of the Third Wheel. And Cat also launched a new monthly feature called CCV, or Co-op Community Voice. And the idea behind it is to get you guys on our site using our community blogs and blogging about a topic. So she'll go and pick a topic every month. This month is the perfect game for you. And so we want you to blog about your perfect game, what it is and stuff. Co-op or not, doesn't matter. And what we're going to do then is either every weekend or every other weekend, we're going to highlight some of those blogs on the front page. So if you want
to... I would hope that we're going to actually remind people periodically to keep writing those blogs, because a month is an awful long time.
Well, I think the idea is the weekend post would be the reminder ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's definitely a thing in training right now to figure out the best way to do it, but we will definitely...
Nick will give every user of the site $1 if they write a blog.
No, I didn't say that. We are thinking about doing prizes, though. Maybe
that would be a good way. I mean, that worked really well when we were doing the 1,000 games. Like, we got a lot of got a lot of pretty good blog posts out of that. So maybe dangling a carrot.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of prizes, though, we are having another editorial. done by Mark, which I think this is a really interesting concept because
it's fun.
There are a lot. Yeah. So Mark realized there's a lot of Lego games out there, and he wanted to find out which Lego game was the best. So we're doing the One Lego to Rule Them All contest, and we're going to give out a couple prizes with the final prize. This is all Mark, so it's all in his court, but he has a pretty cool idea for the final prize, and I hope it comes out as cool as...
I hope it comes out as cool as I think it will, because I'm going to be helping him with it.
All right, good. That's good to hear. So, yeah, all you got to do is go and vote for your favorite Lego game. We're doing kind of like an NCAA-style bracket, and I think it's going to be every week or 2 weeks I'll be posting that. What else do we have? Mark also posted a co-op classics with Revolution X. Beat those bad guys with CDs.
Hope you like Aerosmith. Man, I played that for the first time on the Super Nintendo instead of the arcade. Yeah, when I was a kid, but we would, I'd get games for like my birthday and Christmas, but for the most part, we would rent everything. And sometimes I would ask, for my Christmas presents, my parents would buy me stuff. But I rented games all the time. We had a local shop that was really close by, and they had cheap rentals that lasted like a week. So I'd burn through Super Nintendo games all the time, and the Super Nintendo port of Revolution X I rented, and then it wasn't for another couple years that I actually saw it in an arcade. Yeah. And I was like, I remember this game sucking on the Super Nintendo. I think I'll save my quarters. It's like I don't like Aerosmith, and I don't know.
Finally, Kat, man, she's been a busy girl. She posted on the download for how to choose the choose what platform to buy your game on. So we kind of talked about this a little earlier about a lot of the staff is 360 leaning because that's where all their multiplayer games are. But maybe all your friends are on PlayStation Network or PC, or you don't want to pay for Xbox Live or this and that. So she has an article covering that.
It's a tough choice. It is a tough choice.
Yeah. So there's actually some good posts in that thread discussing. Discussing why people choose what they choose. But that is an action-packed episode number 50.
My God, we're over an hour and a half.
Yeah, this is for me and you for a double double episode or double hosted episode. I think this might be one of our longest ones.
Yeah, and usually we only go this long when we have the internet's Phil Kohler on.
Yeah. We should have had him on. Maybe he'll make an appearance in here, even though he's not.
We'll just call him back in January when we do our year to come. Make it a tradition.
I'll splice together things from his like previous sound bites and like make him say things that he didn't really say.
Yeah,
he'll confirm games that don't even exist, and he didn't even realize he'll confirm them. That's how awesome it'll be.
Either that, or we'll get on and talk about WoW.
All right, so what can you do? If you want to support 50 more episodes, you can buy some of our shirts. We have three different beautiful designs up for sale at splitreason.com. You can just hit the partner stores button at the top and click Co-Optimus. It'll be like me and Mike gently caressing your nipples all day long.
We need to come up with a new catchphrase.
We talked about this last time, the nipple thing threw people off.
I don't know if it's throwing people off. I'm just not feeling it anymore. No? You know what?
Too much nipples?
No, nipples I'll start feeling alike after a while. I want to touch another body part, I think.
Start asking the ladies the word as night shirts.
I think we're going to start earning an explicit tag in the last 30 seconds of each podcast.
Yeah, we've been slipping a little bit, so saying some not so nice things. We're sorry if all one of you kids.
I was really good this episode. I made a conscious decision again.
There was one thing you said, I think, that...
Well, you dropped an F-bomb.
Did yes. I? Yeah. Well, I was quoting Duke Nukem, though.
Well, it still counts.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think you said lick balls.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That might be explicit. Now I said it too. Damn it. Now we're going to have that.
Hey, man. I just put it in your head.
If you're on iTunes and you're looking at our podcast and you see the explicit tag or you don't see it, you can leave some feedback. Give us a couple stars there, 4, 5, 6. I know they don't have 6-star ratings. I wonder how this, I'm really going on here, but I wonder how this goes with their new ping.
I was
service.
About to bring that up, like if we could actually sign up as an artist and have people follow us, but I doubt that we have the record sales to do that. I'm going to call up Steve Jobs and say, yo, you got to check this hot podcast out.
I've heard some bad things about this ping thing. Some people are having some issues. The recommendations have been, like, horrible.
It keeps recommending Lady Gaga to me, and my iTunes library is full of death metal, prog rock, and, like, weird indie stuff. Wow. I don't think that Lady Gaga is really going to be something that I pursue.
Let's see. I'm trying to look at... I'm looking at us right now on... Oh, here we go. We are rated 4.5 stars with 19 ratings. So
19 is respectable. It should be, you know, 19,000, but I understand. We have room to grow in 50 more episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go back and listen to our first episode before I post this
one.
Oh,
God.
Just to... Maybe take a soundbite or two.
Oh, God.
Just, yeah.
It's going to be so horrible.
I'm sure it will be.
We didn't know what we were doing.
No, we still don't know what we're
doing.
Shut up. Who are we kidding? We just sell it a lot better
now. That's right.
So, all right. 1 hour and 40 minutes is plenty of your time that we have wasted. Thanks for listening, everybody. And hopefully we'll do 50 more.
We will.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.